It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Next on The Californians.
There's a breathtaking spot in this great land of ours where the mountains descend to the sea in more wondrous beauty than words can express. And my loved one did wait there for me.
They don't know you. And now for news of our own West Coast, we take you to
Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles, Los Angeles. You don't need that love.
Los Angeles, 5:04 a.m. Los Angeles. Good morning. Wake up. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. Oh boy, lots to talk about, but I want to jump right into, I will say there is a pretty nasty crash on the 105 in South LA, like six cars. And so just if you're driving, keep that in mind. You know, that's a big deal here in Southern California. Accidents at this hour, ugh, change everything. And by the way, can you please stop drinking and driving, folks? Unbelievable, driving in right now, on the 110. I can't tell you how many of these DUIers I had to navigate past. It's like, stay away. Okay, so yesterday there was another rally. As you may have heard, there's a controversial shooting of an unarmed black teen in South LA, 16-year-old Anthony Weber. And it happened last Sunday after Super Bowl. So about 8:15 p.m., there's a 911 phone call that comes in, apparently from some driver in the area who says that he saw a guy pointing a gun at him in the middle of the street, like just standing there. So, of course, the sheriff's department, you know, sends out a few black and whites and two deputies arrive. And they see a young man who matches that suspect description, which apparently wasn't too much, right? Plus, it's 8:15 p.m. at night. But for whatever reason, they decide, let's go talk to this kid, which makes sense. I mean, to approach and say, hey, we need to talk to you. And they asked him not to move. And so the deputies, the version that we're getting from the sheriff's department is that they were told, they asked this young man to stop, and he ran. And then they chased him. And guess what happened? You probably know. They opened fire. And he was shot inside an apartment courtyard. And he died. Now, we don't know how many times he was shot because we're still, you know, waiting upon the autopsy results. We don't know if he was shot in the back. We don't know a lot of particulars, you know, like that. But what we do know is that the deputies now, their version is they opened fire because they felt threatened because they thought they saw him reach towards his waistband for a gun. And yet a gun has never been recovered. And they're still looking for it. And then there was a meeting at a church this week. There was a vigil and they met with sheriff's homicide, you know, because it was like a meet and greet because there was so much tension and frustration with the community. That's a hotbed, by the way. The Westmont area in South LA is a really rough neighborhood. A lot of gang activity. Normandy's kind of the border for two big gangs. I'm not going to name them. I'm not going to pull a President Trump on you here with the State of the Union where he, you know, named that one gang. But two real big gangs have been there for like over 40 years, and there's a lot of territory wars going on down there. But it's just wild that they have this meeting with the homicide, you know, with the captain. And unfortunately, he really pissed off everybody in that community. And even the press took a lot of heat for it because, of course, as media, and I was a reporter out there at the, there was a march yesterday from the apartment courtyard where he was killed to the South LA Sheriff Station. And you've got people out there that, you know, are just upset, don't want to hear it. There's no time for dialogue and are disrespectful towards, you know, law enforcement. And we're screaming some pretty nasty things. And you had a lot of people out there at the same time that had some very valid concerns. And they are asking and seeking for transparency, which is something I was surprised about. Was that, did you know LA County Sheriff's Department doesn't have, they don't have any body cams? So you know how you think of LAPD and they've got body cams on their uniform? The LA County Sheriff's Department does not have body cams for their deputies. They don't have dash cam. Yeah, the second or, you know, first largest sheriff's department in the country does not have that. Why? Because of funds. Yeah, it's all over money. It's crazy. So you can't go to that for evidence. So you've got to depend on the version that the deputies will share, the eyewitness testimony. And there's, but it's, this is like a perfect storm for bad stuff to happen in that there's such a distrust on both sides, because when the sheriff's department held that community meeting, they basically felt and they called this young man a gangbanger, and they, because apparently he had done some time in juvenile hall. He's a 16-year-old. So, you know, he was 16, and they, you know, talking to people out there yesterday, they did confirm that because that is a very active gang area, that he was associated with gangs. It was interesting. People said to me, well, how are you not? If you're a black male in this area, it just happens. It's almost like you're born into it. I mean, again, I'm not telling you what I feel or what I think. This is what people are telling me. And by the way, Anthony Weber Jr. is half white. His father is Caucasian. And I was just blown away by the level of frustration and hopelessness. That's the word. Hopelessness. That I got from young black males in that area. I posted on my Instagram an interview with this guy, Scott. He's 24. He lives in the first world. He lives in California, in that Westmont area. You know what I'm saying? Like California, we have the sixth largest, so we believe, economy in the world. And he feels like such a second class citizen and under siege just because of the color of his skin. He said, it doesn't matter if we cooperate, Elizabeth. I can put my hands up. I'm in custody. I can drop to the ground, do whatever, cooperate with police, and they'll still shoot. And it was like, it was an honest moment the way he was sharing this with me. Mind you, I didn't appreciate his T-shirt because on the back of his T-shirt said F police. And I said, dude, you can't wear that. You know what I'm saying? Let's take a page out of the, you know, Martin Luther King playbook. I mean, look at what happened on the bridge, right? In Selma, you've got to be louder with your peaceful nature to show what you're trying to denounce. If there is discrimination, if there is inequality, right? If there is mistreatment. And so I just was blown away by the fact that, you know, of course we really are still waiting on a lot of different answers, and there's a lot of questions, a lot more questions than answers. But that community is very frustrated. They certainly want an independent, a fair investigation. They want the autopsy, you know, hopefully the report back soon so that people can piece things together. And as one resident, and this was a white male, it was interesting, that lives in that area. And I said, well, you're the minority in this area. He said to me, look, Elizabeth, no weapon, no alibi. They can't just make up that they saw a gun and that's why it was okay to shoot him. And I understand that. And I said, yeah, I'm sure these deputies didn't want to go out and shoot anybody that night either, right? I mean, I think that the deputies don't take the job because they want to go kill people. That's a tough job. What law enforcement does is a really tough job, especially in areas where it's a, you know, gang hotbed. So I understand both sides. I really do. And being out there, I get it. But I do think that at some point you have to let communities just vent, let them just speak their truth, because I will say I was blown away when this young African-American man told me he just feels like a second-class citizen. He doesn't feel that he can go to police if something were happening to him. He couldn't go to police to ask for protection. And I thought, wow, I don't understand that. I can't even relate to that because I am not a black male in South L.A. And so just take some time to let that sink in, how difficult the challenge is on both sides. And I just hope that for Anthony Weber and his family, that they find justice. And I will say, regardless, man, in life, the truth will always prevail. It may take time, and initially may not be the result you want, but the truth will always surface. And on that note, because Valentine's Day is coming, and switching gears, the interview coming up here is with Dr. Danhoff. He's incredible. And so I'm going to give you some love and some light. He's going to tell you about men's sexual health. Wow, what a way to switch gears there. All right, this is Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. Got to make sure you're awake. KFI AM 640 in the newsroom. Mary Kate with us this morning. Good morning, girly. And so it goes. right, so quick reminder, my social media handles, Instagram at Elizabeth Espinosa, Twitter's at E underscore Espinosa. All right, you think you know everything about male sexual health? Probably not. And that's why we thought with Valentine's Day around the corner, and even without Valentine's Day around the corner, men, you always refuse to go to see the doctor, even if like something really bad is happening. So let's see if we can start you on the right path right now with Dr. Dudley Danoff. He's an incredible urologist. The study of urology has to do with basically your bladder and below, if you will. The good doctor will give you a better explanation of what that is. But he has an incredible book that is out, the title, The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health. Dr. Dudley Danoff, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Of course. You know, there's a lot of shame when it comes to any conversation below the waistline.
Yeah, especially these days with the Hollywood gang.
Yes, absolutely. And so, you know, when I think of male sexual health, no, I'm kidding. I don't know. I can't think. I mean, what do I know? I know nothing.
You probably know more than you think you do.
I'm barely trying to figure out my girly parts. So what is the biggest what is the biggest thing in the book, that, you know, the ultimate guide that you talk about that most men seem to disregard, and then it becomes a real health problem?
Well, of course, the biggest problem in male sexual health is prostate cancer. But a lot of everyday sexual health has to do with what's going on between your ears, 99% between your ears and about 1% between your legs in most cases. So there's a lot of psychology. There's a direct wire between a man's brain and his favorite body part, self-doubt, you know, the performance anxiety. There's a lot of that. But there are also many, many physical things that we can do something about.
Well, we're not judgmental here, and you are not as well, and that's what I love about you, Dr. Danoff. One of the questions I think that men have when something is failing, if you will, in the bedroom, why is it? Because I think of women, if a woman can't have an orgasm, it's generally because we're so mental as well. They say that if a man has erectile dysfunction, is it always just a physical problem, or is it also mental for you?
No, in men under 50, if you're having erectile dysfunction, it's 60% between your ears. A lot of psychogenics as a younger man. Now, as people get older, diabetes, hypertension, atherosclerosis set in, it becomes more and more physical. And as men get older, you know, we have the magic pills. We don't want to discount that billion-dollar industry. But if you are having sexual dysfunction, it's very important to be checked out medically to make sure that there is no underlying serious medical problem which is responsible for that.
And, you know, they say that men want to have sex or they turn violent. That's one of the myths out there. Is that true?
I think that's probably exaggerated. You know, most men are not violent, and most men realize that the, you know, the greatest aphrodisiac is love itself. And most men, I think, are gentle and kind. Do we have the wackos out there? You know, we got wackos everywhere, and we also have wackos sexually. So.
Oh, yeah, we do. Time's up. I know what you mean. but truthfully, when we talk about, you know, erectile dysfunction, what about weight gain? Does that have an impact on sexual performance?
I mean, look at appearance. I mean, if a man is 30 pounds overweight and he looks down, I mean, he doesn't see much because the penis comes out anatomically from under the pubic bone. And if you have 3 or 4 inches of prepubic fat, your penis has to traverse the fat before it sees the light of day. So, I mean, that's for starters. Someone said, he said, I had an uncle so fat, when he took a shower, he didn't get his testicles wet.
Oh, my God. You are too much urology. Urologist.
Listen, look. The reality is penis is not a pejorative word. A book I wrote a number of years ago was titled Penis Power, which I thought was a great, 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 great title. And it got a lot of pushback from mainstream press. And, you know, every interview that I'd start, I'd have to say, no, you know, the penis is to the urologist what the elbow is to the orthopedist. I mean, it's a body part. Get over it.
Exactly.
And every time you say that word, the people giggle. And why? It's ridiculous. Yeah. Let's get it out of the closet. If there's something wrong, talk about it. Man up to it. Get your annual PSA and your prostate exam. I mean, no self-respecting woman would ever miss her yearly pap smear or mammogram.
Yes.
But men, macho.
Yeah, that's a problem. You're absolutely right. You know, I also hear a lot of complaints about maybe the reason why I can't last in the bedroom is because, you know, for so many years when we were married or, you know, say someone enters a new relationship, you know, feels like because of the kids, we had to have sex fast. And so that's why I can't hang in there. Is that an excuse?
Well, it's certainly one of them. Kids, when it comes to sex, can definitely be a drag. You know, there's all the screaming and moaning and really saying what you think, and the kids are sleeping, you know, paper thin wall away. It gets a little hairy.
But I mean, is that something? What happens with duration and stamina? I mean, is that also mental?
Well, it's also physical. There's a lot of things that are responsible for how long an erection lasts, and it's something called the refractory period, but it also has to do with physical fitness. I mean, the best path to good sex is good health. So low cholesterol diet, weight control, cardiovascular fitness. I mean, you need upper body strength, you need lower body strength. I mean, you need to be fairly athletic. Now, that's not to say that as people get older and their joints stiffen and it's difficult to move in certain positions, that they can't modify that and still have good sex. They can. But physical fitness, mental health, physical health, cholesterol control, hypertension control, all of those add to good sex.
You know, I love that this book, Dr. Danoff, Larry King offered a quote saying, "It's the best book I've ever read on this most important subject. Every man should read it, and so should women." And I thought that's true.
That's a good one. I don't know if you have the second edition. Bill Maher says, "There's no shame in wanting the fun parts to work right." This book goes a long way in telling you how. Mm-hmm. So Bill Maher, I don't know if you have the second edition, but he's right there on the cover.
Oh, that's great.
Bill Maher. I mean, you either love him or hate him, but
right. No,
when he says things about your book, you got to love him.
Well, it's true. And let me ask you one last question as we wrap up here. There's so much to talk about. My gosh. Porn. What does that do to men in the bedroom?
Well, it's good and it's bad. I mean, porn is a fake. Fake lighting. You know, they get the freaks of nature. They run the camera backwards and forwards, and they have lighting and magnification and symphonic music. That's just not the way it is. I wish it were, but it isn't. Well, the book is medically accurate. It's tongue-in-cheek. It's funny. It's insightful. It's easy to read. Everybody loves it. So I'm so, so happy that you wanted to discuss it with me.
No, I'm so glad, Dr. Dudley Danoff. Stanford, right? I remember.
Princeton.
Princeton. Sorry. Princeton. Okay, that's right. Another great school.
If I knew better, I'd have gone to Stanford.
No,
you're
so cute.
You don't want to be at Princeton this time of the year.
That's right. It is so cold. And I love that you still have your East Coast accent. I love that. Yeah. The book is The Ultimate Guide to Male Sexual Health, Dr. Dudley Seth Danoff. Thank you so much, sir. Such a pleasure having you.
My pleasure. We'll do it again.
That's right, okay. If you know what I'm saying. I'm just kidding. Thank you, doctor. All right, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. I'm going to get hate mail from his wife right now.
No, you won't. Send it to me. I've got your back.
Yes, you do. KFI AM 640 into the newsroom with the latest. I'm blushing. Oh, yes. The Olympics are here. That's right. And it looks like it's so cold in South Korea. The skis have been breaking. It's crazy. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. I tell you.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We're going to get into the Olympics in a little bit, but I want to actually, I'm excited about also another guest. How great, by the way, was Dr. Ganoff. He is a hoot. But we go from that to another very important topic, which is the homelessness crisis in Southern California. In Los Angeles, the numbers are staggering. It's something like you hear 45,000 in L.A. County and then up to 57,000 in L.A. County. Yeah, 57,000. Just let that sink in for a second. Of individuals living without a roof, no shelter. Where do they take a shower? Where do they go to the bathroom? And I got to tell you, as a woman, the first thing I think about is my period. I'm not trying to gross you out, but I'm trying to keep it real. I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. And it's just heartbreaking, if anything. And if you've spent any time at Skid Row here in downtown Los Angeles, you'll know it is a very serious situation. A lot of people, in fact, I know, are so scared to even drive past there. And, you know, in some respects, I understand that. I mean, I'm a news reporter also by day, so that's kind of my my space and being in places that can be very uncomfortable, but I think it's the reality of what we live. So some we all know that we passed a couple of measures here in California last year. I'm hopefully going to bring in a lot more capital so we can do something to tackle the crisis. I think the biggest question is, will it trickle down and actually get to these programs and people who need it? I think that's the frustration with voters who did not want to see that money approved. But we do need the money. We just got to make sure it gets there. So I'm kind of excited because the senior director of housing services with AIDS Healthcare Foundation is with us and in studio right now. So good morning and welcome. And thank you for being up so early with us.
Good morning and thank you for having me here.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Denise Weathers. Denise, I know that you have a big event. You're kicking off We Love LA with a big community open house and a big press event at a hotel in Skid Row, the Madison Hotel. Tell me about We Love LA.
We Love LA is basically a Valentine's Day event, and we want to show the residents, the politicians, and all those that are trying to advocate for housing, that on this day, we are having an open house on our first hotel that we've acquired back in October 2017. It's basically, we want to show you who we are, what we're doing, and how we're going to create a model that is streamlined, effective, as well as quick and easy to get people off the streets and into housing.
And that's a challenge, though. Not everybody wants to go into housing, but there is a large number that wants it, especially families and women, you know, with little ones. We know that right now you have 70 people already living in one of the two properties. There are two properties. One is
the Madison Hotel, 423 East 7th Street. The second recent acquisition is 6516 Sunset, which is the former Super 8 Motel in Hollywood, California. That particular property is specifically earmarked for families, transitional housing, 90 days short term with a housing plan so that when they do come to us, we know that they have a plan that's going to transition them into something more permanent and not back on the streets.
But that's a challenge. I mean, that's very organized. And if you live on the street, you've lost all structure. You are disorganized. You are mentally broken down, if you ask me. And I think that's the biggest challenge.
Well, because there are so many service providers already out there working with the homeless individual, the chronically ill, the families that really, really need housing, they're really equipped because they have case managers, they have those outreach services and sustainable services. But the one thing that they don't have is housing. And that's where the Healthy Housing Foundation comes into play. We have the housing and we want to join with them to put people in housing.
So who qualifies as the AIDS Healthcare Foundation? I'm assuming it's only families living with AIDS, HIV?
No, it's not. It's them as well as the homeless, period. People at risk of homelessness. You have a hidden homeless population that's out there. And this is also for them. It's also for the LGBT community. So people think that just because the AIDS Healthcare Foundation has established the Healthy Housing Foundation, that it's only for families or individuals living with AIDS. That's not necessarily true. It's all encompassing. It's for the homeless person because housing is a stabilizing factor.
You said you have a lot of walk-ins. I mean, how do you reach the people who, they're not going to see this on TV. They're not listening to us on a podcast.
You'd be surprised, word of mouth, because the service, the housing agencies, the rescue missions, a lot of housing advocates are out there. They are aware of it. And, you know, it's really amazing. They hear word of mouth. And the fact that because the Madison is right down in Skid Row, you have people walking in, always inquiring, do you have rooms available? And it spreads like wildfire.
I mean, this is a very complex issue. And I think that you have to tackle it by various different methods. You have the mentally ill that are living on the street. So you can't just, you know, get them a place. There's a larger component to that. You don't propose to say We Love LA is going to resolve everything.
No, not at all. And that's why the partnership with existing service providers who are equipped, they are licensed, they are experienced to deal with that aspect. We are here to add the stabilization of housing to their lives.
We're talking to Senior Director of Housing Services for AIDS Healthcare Foundation, Denise Weathers. Denise, I got to ask you this, especially in light of the news this week. Have you seen those brightly colored meters now over at Grand Park?
No.
Downtown LA meters going to accept donations for homeless outreach program. Do you think this is a great idea?
Personally speaking, I don't.
Why not?
I think it's just another way that the city or the county is just trying to say we're doing something.
Mm.
But that's not the solution.
The solution is
the funding that's out there. Take the hands out of the pot of money and put the money into the construction, into the supportive services, make it streamlined and put that money out there where it really, really needs to be put to use. And it's taxpayer dollars. They want to see results.
Right. I understand. Samantha Granberry is with us also from the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. Your title? She's the vice president of, can we get the microphone on? Vice president of AIDS Healthcare Foundation.
And marketing and sales for the AIDS Healthcare Foundation.
There you go. Okay. Your thoughts on the meters downtown LA?
Very similar to Denise in terms of what AHF is doing with healthy housing. We're looking to show, improve, and put our foundation's dollars where it can make the most difference. So while what the city might be doing with the meters for taxpayers might be a first step, we're saying that there's other steps that need to be focused on besides distractionary things like the meters.
So how many more hotels are you hoping to purchase?
We have quite a robust short-term strategy in regards to...
What is that? How many hotels would you say? Or structures? I don't know.
What I will say is that through the Healthy Housing Foundation, AHF is looking to disrupt and potentially dismantle a corrupt, what we call industrial housing complex system, similar to the prison industrial complex system.
So very wordy. What does that mean? Sorry.
So what that means is that we want to cut out the bureaucracy. We want to cut out the dollars that are being misappropriated.
But how do you do that? Like, what does that mean? That means that you're just going to go and purchase 10 homes or apartments and say, boom, this is money that's going to this.
It means that we're doing exactly what we're going to be promoting on February the 14th with our We Love LA, the purchase of the Madison Hotel that AIDS Healthcare recently did on Skid Row. The purchase of transitionary housing that we recently purchased from a Sunset 8 motel on Sunset Boulevard, and some work that we're working with the city on in Fort Lauderdale, South Florida, to begin. This is all very quick. We've begun working on this from really the end of 2017.
For a long time.
Yeah. Not a long time, actually. We started working on this in the beginning, end of 2017.
End of 2017.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, you're
just in the beginning of 2018.
Yeah.
And so when you say, how are we doing it? It is that we are cutting out the middlemen. We are purchasing the housing. We are bringing in the experts in the housing arena to get people off the streets into hotels and ideally on the first rung to home ownership eventually.
Samantha and Denise Weathers, thank you so much. I feel and I sense your urgency, and that's important. And thank you for that, because I don't think there's enough of that. We need urgency with this situation. There are little kids right now. And even if they're, you know what, you don't have to be a child. I feel bad for the elderly that are on the street, our veterans. It is ridiculous. I was just talking to a caregiver, you know, my brother special needs, and one of his caregivers is from Cameroon, from West Africa. And he said to me, he goes, Elizabeth, I could not believe when I came to this country, especially Los Angeles, that you have so many homeless. We take care of each other in Cameroon. We're a poor country. How does that happen in Los Angeles? I get the chills even saying that. I don't get me started. I said, I don't know. But here we are. So thank you, AIDS Healthcare Foundation, for doing what you do.
Elizabeth, could I just make a plea that anyone who is looking for housing, please call 323-860-5200 and we'll get them some housing.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Denise and Samantha. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640 in the newsroom with Mary Kate. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. Man, we're cramming it all in, producer Brent. Good job, good job. Thank you for those great interviews.
Oh, man, we had 3 hours of show in 1 hour.
I know.
Insane.
I can't believe we're coming to the end of it. This is really crappy. Oh, well. Oh, well. Again, any information you guys want on everything we've talked about, we're getting posted on our website. And, of course, the keyword is Sunday, right? KFIAM640.com. And then you can listen to it again on the podcast. I did want to say, I guess we got our first gold, 17-year-old snowboarder. Got us our first gold over in Pyongyang. Yes! Bring it home, baby! Oh, yes! Of course, already NBC's gotten itself in trouble. I guess one of their commentators saying something silly about Koreans and how they admire the Japanese, even though they were colonized by them for, I don't know, 35-plus years. Let's watch those political remarks, I tell you. But you know what's crazy? Even though I know we've been kind of following a little bit of the, you know, the figure skating, the snowboarding, how wild is it that now politics is overshadowing the athletes? And that, did you hear about Kim Jong-un's sister extending an olive branch to South Korea, inviting them officially to see North Korea behind the wall? That's crazy. Oh, my God. Could this be? Could this be that there is a gold medal? A reunion, that's right. A family reunion. I hope so, because I got to tell you, that whole two Koreas is terrible. All right, we'll keep you posted on the Olympics. I was a little pissy, though. I couldn't watch SNL last night. I was like, what? The Olympics are on? Come on! All right. I did want to say, we're going to bring on the manager of Shia in Venice for the counter section in just a second. But really quick, so quite a week, right? We had a press conference earlier this week of the guy on the gold line who apparently murdered his wife, homeless guy, and he chopped her up, put her in a suitcase, and he was on the Metro Gold Line from Pasadena to downtown LA where he set her body on fire in that suitcase. Wow! Welcome to LA! You get on the Metro Gold Line and you never know who's sitting next to you. Huh? Ugh, just brutal. And then, of course, we had that shutdown. The government shut down for just, like, what, a few hours when I woke up. Thankfully, it was over. But Nancy Pelosi, she's got game. What is she, 77? Gave the longest speech in Congress since 1909. And all thanks to the magic minute. And I'm not talking about Valentine's Day. Because the magic minute is a procedural technique that is only allowed, you know, for party leaders. So she was able to speak for hours. She started at 10:04 a.m. and stopped just after 6 p.m. And it was not a filibuster, okay? Like I said, it was a magic minute. And she did it in four inch heels. And she read stories of dreamers. And we finally cut a deal, but it did not include dreamers. It didn't really say anything about immigration. So, hey, stay tuned until the next government shutdown. That's fun. Okay. And, of course, L.A. were named the king of traffic for the sixth year in a row.
We're number one.
Ah, so proud of us. All right, let's head on to the calendar section. And I want to bring on Joseph Moretti, the manager of Chaya Venice. I have such fond memories. I'm not kidding. When I was just 19, 5 years ago, Joseph.
When
I
went,
yeah, I was down to date, but I love it there, and I believe I know one of your owners anyway. But anyway, talk to me. What's going on over there?
Oh, Valentine's Day. That's what's going on.
Ooh.
And thank you. You've been coming. You're a regular. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what are we doing? Valentine's Day is probably the most anticipated day of the year at our restaurant. Most restaurants, I think. What we're doing. Yeah. Special is we're introducing a new chef, new executive chef,
oh.
Joe Pignew, and he's featuring a 3-course prefix menu.
Mm.
We also include an limited a la carte menu and sushi menu. And what I think is great about what we're doing is we're making it really approachable on a night that, like, most restaurants could totally gouge you with, like, raising prices and everything else, and
yeah.
we're doing our 4-course prefix menu for $60.
$60, that's pretty good.
It is. It's pretty reasonable. And it's, you know, it's coming from a chef that's classically trained, incredibly playful and inventive with his food. Some of the things that are on his menu are slow-roasted beet salad with asparagus and mustard frill. And
I'm hungry, Joseph. I get it.
Completely vegan. And if you wanted to see a picture of that, it's on our website, too. And it's really funny because my daughter was looking at this, and she goes, "Oh, Daddy, that's the heartbeat salad," because the beets are shaped in hearts and everything else.
Oh, that's cute. That's really cute. Okay, so Valentine's Day.
Yeah, and there's other things on there, too, like tuna tataki and hamachi sashimi. There's oysters. We have
that's my favorite.
Second course is salmon steak risotto. Every person that walks, person that comes in the door gets a complimentary rose. We didn't forget the singles either, because you come there with your significant other.
That's right.
In the bar, you can get bottomless rosé. Sparkling rosé.
I love this idea. Bravo. Bravo. Yes, please. Encourage the singles. This might be a great, you can even have like a speed dating situation there, right?
Well, you could, actually. The happy hour at Chai has always been really popular. And, you know, one of the things that I love about the night, I've been at this restaurant for 22 years, so it's been really...
I've seen you, Joseph. I think I've seen you. All right. I probably have, but Joseph Moretti, I'm hoping to swing by then on Valentine's Day.
And you have to ask for me when you come.
I will. In between my live shots, because I'm working at KTLA, the 10 p.m. night show. Hopefully I'll say, hey guys, I heard there's breaking news at Chaya. Bottomless mimosas.
If you do come to Chai, you definitely have to ask for me. I'll definitely make a point of saying hello. And
you are so sweet.
All those tables.
Thank you. You're so sweet.
If anyone wanted to make a reservation, just go to www.thechaya.com, or you can call 310-396-1179.
Perfect. Okay. We will post it on our website. All right, sweetheart. Thank you so much. Happy Valentine's Day to you and your wife and all your family. All right, so of course we've got all the yummy cocktail recipes and ideas and great lines and quotes and pickup lines, let's be real, for you. Brent, I think you've put that together, a compilation, and it's really producer Brent's best Valentine's Day pickup lines we're going to post on the website. Tell me you have great plans for your wife. You're married.
Oh, well, she's not even in town.
Oh, my. Is that what happens?
Yeah.
My illusions of what marriage would be
like. She's up there with her parents, so it's just going to be me, a bottle of wine, and some anime.
Wow. All right. Well, I would say this. You know what? Reach out to that one, you know? Give them a little love. You know, it could just be a handwritten note. Maybe just, here's a great idea I want to leave you with, especially for those of you who are in a relationship that's serious. Leave them a little post-it. Just one in the bathroom mirror. Girls, we're so mushy like that, aren't we? Brent's like, oh, God, I just threw up in my mouth.
The only post-it I really want is like, babe, I've replaced the toilet paper in the bathroom. That is the best Valentine's I could possibly get.
You are too much. I will say this. Have an incredible week. We will be back, of course, next Sunday. Social media Instagram is at Elizabeth Espinosa. And @E_Espinosa on Twitter. Hit us up with your ideas. And I'm going to leave you with this, my friends. If I had a flower for every time I thought of you, I could walk through my garden forever. Oh,
dear God, that's horrible.
Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. Peace out.
Turn down for what?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.